Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Isaiah lived and prophesied about 750 years before our Lord came to this earth. He has more to say about the coming Messiah than any of the other Jewish prophets. That is the reason he is called the Messianic prophet. Isaiah wrote concerning Jesus Christ, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort them who mourn." Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. On one occasion, when Jesus went into the synagogue in his hometown, he asked the minister for the scroll of Isaiah and read to his audience from Isaiah 61. Then he said to the Jews in the synagogue, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Luke 4, 16-21. While John the Baptist was in prison, he heard of the mighty works Jesus was doing. He sent two of his disciples to learn if Jesus were the expected Messiah, or if the Jews should look for another. Jesus told John's disciples about the healing of the blind, curing the lame, the lepers, and the deaf. He also told him about raising the dead and preaching the gospel to the poor. Was preaching the gospel to the poor a sign that the Messiah had come into the world? The passage from Isaiah 61 makes that truth too plain for anyone to deny. You may have noticed that Isaiah used the word meek, while Jesus used the word poor. It was the meek or the poor in spirit, not necessarily those who were financially poor, who were open to hearing the message of salvation. Paul had the same truth in mind when he told the Corinthians, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. And the base things of the world and things that are despised has God chosen, yea, and things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." 1 Corinthians 1, 26-29. John knew from the report Jesus sent to him that the Jews no longer had to wait for the Messiah to come into the world. The works that Jesus performed proved him to be what he claimed to be, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. John could discern, and so could all other honest people, that Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament predictions concerning the coming of the Messiah. I'm reminded of the words of the two men on the road to Emmaus. They said to Jesus, whom they did not recognize, "We were hoping that it had been he who would have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done." Luke 24, 21. But hope for John the Baptist and for the two men on the road to Emmaus had been turned into reality. The Messiah had come and was performing miracles, positive proof that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. After Jesus had given indisputable proof that he was the Messiah, he said to John's disciples, "Blessed is he who shall not be offended in me." Matthew 11, 6. The New American Standard Bible renders that verse, "Blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me." Is that not strange language? It is not strange to those who have studied the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many of his words and works were offensive to great numbers of people because they did not harmonize with what the people expected of the Messiah. Is that not also the case in our day? While millions of people give lip service to our Lord, they are often offended because of his teaching. For example, how many people accept what Jesus taught about marriage, divorce, and remarriage? My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless you.